WTE and 107.7 FM W299CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Donald Trump sentenced. I'm Sherry Preston. This hour, President-elect Donald Trump is appearing before a New York judge facing sentencing in the hush money case for which he was found guilty of 34 felonies. ABC News senior investigative correspondent Aaron Katursky has more.
His lawyers arguing that Trump, as president-elect, is deeply involved in the transition and that going ahead with sentencing would cause harm to the institution of the presidency. But a narrowly divided Supreme Court refused Trump's request for a delay, saying the burden that sentencing will impose on the president-elect's responsibilities is relatively insubstantial. Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who Trump appointed, sided with Chief Justice Roberts and the liberals. Trump appointees Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, along with Justices Thomas and Alito, said they would have granted a stay.
Trump had faced up to 4 years in jail, but now he'll face no real punishment. He will, however, become the first president convicted and sentenced for a crime. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A Wisconsin man has been arrested in connection with a bank robbery in Minnesota. The Monroe County Sheriff's Office says 51-year-old Corey Billstrom of Janesville was arrested Tuesday in the village of Wilton as part of a coordinated effort with law enforcement agencies in both states. Sheriff's deputies and local police made contact with Billstrom outside a residence and took him into custody. He's being held in the Monroe County Jail pending extradition to Minnesota, where he will face charges related to the bank robbery in the Minneapolis suburb of Bloomington. There was also an outstanding warrant for Billstrom's arrest from the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. Tomah police said that a man wanted in connection with a Thanksgiving Day stabbing is in custody. According to a release, police arrested a 30-year-old man at a home in the city Tuesday. David Hintz was found hiding in a crawl space and resisted arrest. He is one of two suspects in the stabbing incident. He's been charged with attempted homicide as well as several other crimes. Another suspect, 33-year-old Justin Novak, was arrested shortly after the stabbing, which left the victim initially hospitalized with life-threatening injuries. New details on the Abundant Life Christian School shooting are being released. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes provided a new update.
We've collected two firearms at the scene, but believe only one was used. 21 shell casings were recovered at the scene. Still, at this time, we will not be naming where these firearms were purchased.
Barnes says police haven't identified a motive for why student Natalie Samantha Rupnow entered the school and injured several people, killing two and then herself. Barnes says no charging decisions will be made until detectives review all the evidence linked to the case. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Is Jordan Love ready? I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers face the Eagles Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Quarterback Jordan Love dealing with an elbow injury suffered during the Bears game that left his throwing hand numb for a few days. It's still bothering him throwing in practice.
Yeah, it's more my elbow. Or my elbow. Covering that.
Soreness?
Yes.
So how did he look yesterday? Could he run the offense? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, he looked fine. He looked good.
Game time Sunday at 3:30. We'll have reports from Philly. NBA, the Bucks in Orlando tonight against the Magic. In Madison, the Badgers host Minnesota. Baseball, the Brewers reaching agreements with five players, including pitchers Aaron Civale, Yoel Piamps, and last year's closer Trevor McGill.
This is my favorite town. Okay. Favorite stadium and everything. I really love this place. You know, it's baseball in Milwaukee, and these fans show up every day for us, and, you know, you can feel it.
They could not reach a deal with catcher William Contreras, who is headed to arbitration. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Flurries and a little freezing drizzle this morning, so keep an eye on the roads. Could be a little slick for the commute, but we will clear out with some sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high today, 29. Tonight, 13. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, 27. With snow on the way tomorrow night and Sunday, could get an inch, maybe a little more before it all winds down late Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again? Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Big Show, former Wisconsin Badger Brady Ewing on the program, as well as Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. News from the Center, WRCE.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia on my mind. I said, Georgia.
I can listen to that song 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of my life and still not hear it enough.
Yeah, it's so effortless.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy, this music.
Yeah, this is Jimmy Carter's favorite playlist. It's a long list. I just took seven of them, but a variety of different tunes. He had a wide-ranging interest in music and a broad interest in music. And he was regarded as the guy who had the most musicians come and play in the White House during his 4 years.
So before we go back to the phone line, Sandy, we're talking about climate change, whether or not our nation should be committed to it. And even in the face of Republicans now pushing back against it, I just wanted a couple statistics. The FEMA budget for 2024, Sandy, is $29 billion. And it says here, in 2024, the FEMA budget that was used and spent for migrants, Congress appropriated $650 million of the $29 billion. They say it's going to cost $50 billion to reconfigure North Carolina from Hurricane Helena and the other one, and now well over $50 billion for California, and clearly a lot more, and it's going to take decades. And yet, we're talking about even less money coming into the coffers because they're going to be cutting taxes on how do these things add up, Sandy?
Well, you know, the thing is that what I don't understand about the debate about climate change is the notion that it's binary, that either it exists or it doesn't exist. Okay, climate change exists. There's no question about that, no scientific question whatsoever. Then the question ought to be, okay, well, what is the extent to which human conduct is contributing to climate change? And that's where the Republicans want to stick their foot in the ground and say, we aren't going to look at that. We aren't going to investigate that. We don't want to spend any government money on that question because we don't want to find out the answer to that question because the answer can be very inconvenient. I mean, it was the whole source of Al Gore's, the name of his movie, The Inconvenient Truth. You know, the inconvenient truth is that human conduct is contributing to global climate change. Then the question is, well, how should we modify human conduct so that we can reduce the amount of climate change we experience? Because the rate at which we're experiencing climate change and the amount of climate change we're experiencing is creating dreadfully expensive problems for us today and promises to create much more dreadfully expensive problems to be dealt with tomorrow and day after tomorrow. So, you know, if CJ cares about his grandchildren, he will care about the level to which they will be required to make huge expenditures to deal with the problems that they will experience with a far greater degree of climate change than we're experiencing today.
Well,
and the answer in Project 2025, the actual answer in Project 2025 is we're going to leave to future generations and their ingenuity the answers to how it is they will deal with the problems of climate change that we might be causing today. That is actually the policy statement in Project 2025, which to me is like the most irresponsible statement of policy that I can imagine. And it's the least businesslike analysis, because there undoubtedly are much more cost-effective ways to deal with it today than to simply defer it till tomorrow, let the snowball create an avalanche, and try to deal with the expense and problems of the avalanche tomorrow.
Well, again, to kick it down the road makes it more expensive on the generations after us. The other part of this is, Sandy, you hear Republicans say, we aren't the only ones. China's not going to stop. Other nations aren't going to stop, so why should we? What kind of thinking is that?
Well, it's not even accurate thinking, okay? Because China has created more solar energy than any other country in the world. China is well, you know, they have a huge appetite for new energy, so they're pursuing all kinds of sources, but they are pursuing more renewable energy sources than we are. And the fact is that America is on the cusp of requiring a great deal more electric energy tomorrow than they have today because of, for instance, artificial intelligence. I just, you know, you can read anywhere today how much, if you do a Google search to get an answer to something, you'll use X amounts of electric energy to solve that problem. If you use ChatGPT, which is now available through Siri or other of the Google search processes, to artificial intelligence, you'll use four times as much energy. And Wisconsin's on the brink of a huge energy shortage because of the data centers that are on the brink of being constructed here in Wisconsin, which will consume massive amounts of electricity in order to deal with the appetite for electricity of artificial intelligence. So, you know, we need to be on top of this because we don't want to produce that electricity with coal plants or with gas-fired plants, because the effect on the environment will be substantial.
All right, let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you for waiting. You say what?
Happy Friday, guys. Thanks for taking my call. What a great topic to delve into. I must say, for us to be debating this clean energy topic all these years, and it seems to be slipping away, not gaining strength, again, it's really the definition of insanity, isn't it? You know, the GOP and the MAGA group, especially, they are science deniers. So let's think about this for a second. What is oil? Oil is sure, it's a great source of energy. It has high density. But look at the downside, okay? Our God-given intuition and our skills, right? You know, if it smells bad, if it stinks, you know, if it's dirty and messy, you know, try to remove some of it off of your garage pad. You know, it's carcinogen. It causes wars. When you add in all the costs, including the significant healthcare ramifications due to the production and the use of oil. I mean, how do you not pivot away? It's really insanity when you add in the wars. But I got to say, you know, what makes more sense? Being pigeonholed like we were to where America was exposed to something in the 70s called an oil embargo that absolutely put America on its knees. Jimmy Carter, my favorite president of my life, had the courage and the fortitude to go against the fossil fuel industry, which, by the way, were producing climate impact studies in the late 70s and early 80s that depicted climate change in warming and the temperature changes in the future. We know that. That's fact. You know, Jimmy Carter had the courage and the foresight to put a solar array up on top of the White House for the water systems in the White House. And it made all sense in the world, right? But then, you know, the Republicans come into office. Reagan says, hell no, we can't.
He took it down. Yes.
Yeah. So here again, think about that. The oil embargo of 73, as I recall, and the lines literally around the neighborhoods, people trying to get rations gas. If you remember those,
yeah,
maybe again, a lot of people weren't even, you know, born then. But, you know, so the risks of this technology called oil that is so nasty, dirty, toxic, and it causes huge conflicts across our globe and war, you know, versus having an energy source that you can have on top of your roof or on your property that you can plug in, and it's, you know, 20% of the cost is cheaper. What we're seeing here, guys, is a system, our American system, that's been captured by the oligarch and the special interests. Nobody on earth has more money to bribe, to influence elected officials than the fossil fuel industry. Again, we have significant wars over oil. I don't know. Seems to me kind of a no-brainer to pivot out of that and going into energy that you can create in your own backyard or on top of your roof. It just doesn't make sense to continue down the path of punting. Let somebody else do it. Are you kidding me? GOP, you know, that's what the GOP is good at, is punting, because it takes a lot of hard work in order to get things done.
Hey, Mike, you know, agree with you totally. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I just think it's the anti-scientific method, the anti-business method that's being espoused for this whole global warming question. We ought to be evaluating it factually. We ought to be analyzing it for cost-effective kind of responses. None of that is being proposed by the Republicans, and the Republican answer to all of this is ignore it and kick the can down the road to our grandchildren, because their ingenuity will deal with it.
All right. Up next, Supreme Court denies Trump bid to halt hush money case on the Earl Ingram Show. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Smile tenderly, still in peaceful dreams I see the road.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. And Sandy, the music?
Yeah, this is Jimmy Carter's favorite stuff. I think that's the Allman Brothers, which was one of his favorite bands. They were a Georgia group, and they were at the White House often during his tenure.
Let's go to the phone lines before we get into our next subject. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, I thought, first of all, I thought we were going to talk about Donald Trump being sentenced today. So
we are going to talk about that. Okay.
Can I talk about that now?
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. I'm glad that he's going through the sentencing. He did the crime. Now he should pay for what he did. Okay. He got elected because of the fact that he was indicted and prosecuted. People actually felt sorry for him. So for going through all this stuff and then have the courts just drop it all, to me would be kind of disappointing. So I love that mugshot of him. I love the fact that he was standing on a stage yelling, fight, 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 with blood coming from his ear. That got him elected. So to me, I'm excited. So I hope that they throw the book at him. And he's a convicted felon, and he'll be the first president in the United States to go out there and be inaugurated as a felon.
Hey, Gary. So you think that's why Donald Trump got elected, because of the hush money case? I mean, come on, man.
Well, I think he might be right that a number of people who were his supporters or who decided to be his supporters decided that he was a victim.
Well, unbelievable. That's ridiculous, man.
Well, I think it might be a ridiculous theory to cast Donald Trump, the billionaire, the extroverted, notorious Donald Trump as a victim who invites his victimhood. But I think that is a, I think that's true. But I think I'm just surprised that what Gary's really saying is that this is all part of his view of Donald Trump as a hero, that him being an indicted felon will be a badge of courage to go along with the bloody ear, which about which there's some controversy as to whether it was caused by a bullet or what. But in any case, you know, this is all about the strange fascination with Donald Trump, the fact that he is a charismatic figure and that he is the anti-hero. And what Gary just described is an anti-hero. And that is what Donald Trump is. And I'm just sorry that the United States has gotten to the place where an anti-hero is the person they want to have in office and someone that they want to look up to.
Well, you know, Sandy and Gary, to say that these people went after Donald Trump and vilified him and, you know, he's an innocent man. They just, you know, used the court systems against him. It's ridiculous. You know, Donald Trump, I heard him say this morning that all of these cases that he fought, he won. And he won them because he didn't do anything. In all these cases, he didn't do anything. Well, Sandy, I'll say this to you. You know, I haven't been in court for breaking the law. I'm 70 years old. Nobody's accused me of having committed a bunch of crimes, and I had to go to court to fight them. If Donald Trump didn't put himself in situations, Sandy and Gary, that the court systems had to check him out, it wouldn't be an issue. He put himself in all these situations. What is the court system supposed to do, Sandy? Ignore the thing? He's not exactly a savory character, Sandy.
Well, you know, this is all the fact is that he became the champion of a whole bunch of people in America. He probably did it initially through his appearances on his TV show, in which he was an anti-hero there. His TV show was all about him unceremoniously and sort of cruelly firing people. And somehow that caught the fancy of a lot of Americans, and The Apprentice was a big hit TV show. And the producer of Apprentice voices today his apologies about creating an image for Donald Trump, which wasn't one that he deserved, the image being that he was a successful and polished businessman, because in fact, his business record didn't support that. But, you know, the fact is that for whatever reason, Donald Trump branded himself in a manner in which he was adopted by a large number of people as their anti-hero. And as such, a charismatic leader. And what Gary just voiced was the epitome of that outlook. Okay, that let's, you know, good. Let's get him more anti. Let's put more badges of sacrifice on him by the fact that he will now have been prosecuted and convicted as a felon. Poor soul. and that he's our hero as a result.
Well, you know, I mean, really, Sandy, Gary is trying to lead us to believe that he really is happy that Donald Trump is going to go in as a felon.
No, I mean, I think Gary's an honest person. We're seeing into what his thoughts are. He's telling us what they are, which is that this is all part of the anti-hero edifice of Donald Trump, and it's what has attracted a bunch of people to him.
Well, okay, 855-752-4842. We're going to continue this on the other side. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That's Friday with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Changing how Wisconsin children are tested isn't being supported by a high-profile former educator. Governor Tony Evers is criticizing the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's decision to change state test score benchmarks. Evers is calling the change a mistake. State Superintendent Jill Underley defended the changes, saying standards were updated to better assess students. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's got plans to bring forward legislation to maintain consistent standards. There is a new initiative to help Iowa County residents who are at risk of severe or even deadly falls. This initiative helps connect residents to the resources they need to protect themselves. The mission is especially important in our state because, according to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, we have the highest death rate for falls in the nation. The Healthy Iowa County Communication Action Team on Aging is a group of dedicated organizations and individuals. The focus of their current work includes implementing a falls prevention campaign in Iowa County. This program includes a pilot referral system between Dodgeville EMS and the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Iowa County. Its purpose is to identify folks who have fallen or are at increased risk for falls. Upon identification, the individual vulnerable to falls is connected to the Iowa County ADRC to assist in identifying risk and getting this person connected to additional resources. If you know someone who could benefit from resources in their home to avoid a fall-related injury, contact Iowa County ADRC at 608-930-9835 or visit adrcswi.org/about/Iowa County. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. One of the celebrities forced to evacuate their home was actress Jamie Lee Curtis. The Associated Press reports that the last showgirl actress has pledged $1 million to start a fund to help those in Southern California affected by the fires. Celebrities who have actually lost their homes include Mandy Moore and Billy Crystal. The historic Will Rogers home in Will Rogers State Park have also been lost. Nikki Glaser says she was paid handsomely to host the Golden Globes last weekend, but she also told Howard Stern that she was paid less than her male counterparts who had previously hosted. 2023 host Jared Carmichael said in his monologue that he received $500,000. Glaser said she would have hosted for free to prove herself and is hoping to make more next time. Nikki Glaser was the first woman to host the Golden Globes solo. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Flurries and a little freezing drizzle this morning, so keep an eye on the roads. Could be a little slick for the commute, but we will clear out with some sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high today, 29. Tonight, 13. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, 27. With snow on the way tomorrow night and Sunday, could get an inch, maybe a little more before it all winds down late Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Matt Nair on air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment
brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Max Inc. Radio, original local music from Wisconsin, Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight. This weekend, we welcome brand new band Take Back the Sun, and Terry chats with Aaron Schulke about Wisconsin polka. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Something about you, mama, sure gives me the blues. Hey, hey, something about you, mama, sure gives me the blues. It ain't your drop-stitch stockings, it ain't your blue buckle shoes. Hey, hey. Deodorant, holy, holy. You know, sweet mama, I'm bound to love you some. It's the truth, honey. You know, sweet mama, I'm bound to love you some.
You know, I think I heard this on the Clampets, Jed Clampett and the Beverly Hillbillies.
Could be. Nothing like a good yodel to wake you up, though.
Right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. That's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Yeah, this is all Jimmy Carter's favorite stuff. He had a wide-ranging taste in music, and I found a list of about 40 songs of stuff that he particularly liked, and he had a wide range of performers that he liked as well. Bob Dylan was top on his list. Allman Brothers were close second, but he had a whole bunch of stuff.
Sandy, before we go to the phone lines, I just, for all the people who see Donald Trump as a hero, there is right and wrong in the world. Okay? I mean, I believe there's right and wrong in the world. And clearly, when you look at Donald Trump and what Donald Trump has done, he's done a lot of wrong. He hasn't done right. You use the term anti-hero. We've always looked for heroes. Since when do we elevate anti-heroes above heroes, Sandy? And why is that acceptable behavior?
Well, I think quite frankly.
And is that a good thing? Is that a good thing? Does it bode well for the future of our nation?
Well, we've had generations who have looked up to people like the Joker. You know, these are things that people have got inured to, that notoriety is apparently something that makes somebody acceptable.
Yeah, but he's the president.
Well, I'm just saying that I think what I'm just talking about is trying to reach cultural understanding about the phenomena that is the American cultural phenomena of Donald Trump. And it's not just restricted to the United States. I mean, Bolsonaro in Brazil and a variety of leaders in a variety of countries have been quite controversial figures, much, much less than positive heroic figures who have become leaders of countries. And it's a worrisome cultural phenomena that's not just resident in the United States, but appears to be something that's sort of spread throughout the world.
But you know, Sandy, I live in the United States. 50% of the American people have now decided. How do you bring that back? Okay, how do you walk it back? Because I've always taught my children to do what's right. And that's clear. That's, you can't change right to wrong and wrong to right and then say that they're equal, Sandy. Look at Donald Trump's record.
Sometimes kids act out on the playground, and after a moment, after times of reflection, and after a period of review of the information that they now have, they change. Okay, and I do think that Donald Trump, in the broad daylight, as president in this next go round, which is going to be not as chaotic as his first, it's going to be an effort to do a whole bunch of things. And I think that more and more people will see that the things that he wants to do are not things that we should be pursuing, you know. And I wonder what CJ and Gary and others think of this notion of trying to annex Greenland and trying to annex the Panama Canal and trying to move territorially across the world and create a bigger, broader empire. Just, you know, making Canada the 51st state and talking repeatedly about that. This stuff is, first of all, it casts what Vladimir Putin did in a far different light, right? Because if you're looking at the world in the manner that Donald Trump is now looking at the world, then geographically we're entitled to the Western Hemisphere, maybe geographically, Vladimir Putin and Russia are entitled to what used to be the Soviet Union. I mean, he is talking and thinking imperially, and it isn't just about an imperial president. It's about building an empire that is geographic as well. And it's very, very worrisome. That's the part that I think people like CJ and Gary and others ought to be thinking about is, do they really want to hook their wagon to that star? And does the America they live in want to be that America?
Well, you know, Sandy, if it was just CJ and Gary, we could live with it. But it's 50% of the American people.
Well, I'm using them as representative of the 50%. I'm just saying that I think in the bright of day, over these next months and several years, when we get a real look at Donald Trump and what it is that he and the people behind him are standing for and wanting to accomplish, the things they want to cut out of government will be things that will be important to Tom, Dick, and Mary. And the things that he wants to accomplish will be unimportant to them, but will be confounding in terms of what it will do to America's position in the world and what it'll do to the economy, quite frankly.
You know, Sandy, it's unfortunate. By then, it's too late. And so, you know, we have to suffer the consequences of that.
Well, no, we're suffering the consequences right now, some of us. The 50% right. That didn't vote for Donald Trump are suffering consequences. The question is, what will be the consequences of his presidency? And will it change the views of some of those who are currently enthusiastically supporting an anti-hero? And I am hopeful that, number one, he won't be able to accomplish many of the things he talks about. But two, when people see in broad daylight the things that he wants to and will be trying to accomplish, they will back off from the support that they have given him. Because tariffs across the board are not a good idea, and everyone seems to have agreed to that. Using tariffs as a revenue source to supplant and to support a tax reduction that he wants to make is not a good idea, and it's inflationary in every respect. Not taxing tip income, not a good idea. You know, I was talking to someone on the phone a couple of days ago about this. If you are a restaurant waiter in a high level restaurant, you might earn $20,000 a year of salary and $40,000 a year of tip income. And that's $60,000 a year, but you'll only be taxed on $20,000, which means you probably won't pay any tax whatsoever. Now, your friend down the block who punches a clock and earns $60,000 a year of salary will be paying an income tax on $60,000, same dollar amount. What's the equity associated with somebody not paying any tax at all who earns $60,000 simply?